before Dr. Watt shares the message tonight. Number 73, My God is a Righteous God. And we'll sing on the first and second stanzas of number 73, My God is a Righteous God.
Jesus knows my every word and deed. Jesus longs to meet my deepest need. He lives now to intercede. He will surely stand by me. My God is a righteous God. My God is a holy God. My God is a faithful God. He will surely stand by me. Jesus' love has drawn my heart to Him. Jesus' blood has washed away my sin. His word makes me pure within. He will surely stand by me. My God is a righteous God. My God is a holy God. My God is a faithful God. He will surely stand by me.
Well, it's good to be able to speak to all of you tonight. I hope the sound is a little better. It is good to see all of you on the sides of the comments here on my computer. I can see that and I see everybody that's joining. And just seeing your names pop up, kind of like with the students when we do our live lectures, just seeing their names and any comments they make just is kind of a strange form of fellowship. I miss the kids in school, and just seeing their names and hearing their comments and things is a blessing to me. So I enjoy seeing all of you that join us for our services. And we're glad that you're here. Unfortunately, the sound is working, and I know I'm preaching, and you wish it wouldn't work. I was joking with Mr. O'Pager about that today, but I'm going to be in 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. I was thinking through when Solomon was making his prayer to dedicate the temple. This is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 8. It's also recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and that famous verse in chapter 7, verse 14 of 2 Chronicles. We'll come to that down near to the end of our message, hopefully. But I just got reading through these verses, and many people have broken this down. It's a pretty easy outline to do. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. You know, you look at it, it's almost 70 verses long. We're going to read little parts and pieces here. And there is a natural seven categories of petitions that are given in this chapter. And I'm just going to quickly talk through some of them. And one of them has to do with pestilence. One of them has to do with sickness and disease. And I know that's been on our minds lately in our country. And I was even looking back at the history of the pandemics. It's very interesting to study those kind of things. You can see all that on the CDC website. I wrote down a few things that I learned back in the Spanish flu in 1918. There were 50 million people that died. That is just astonishing to me. That many people would pass away. Then in 1957, there were 1.1 million worldwide, 116,000 in the United States. And in 1968, another million worldwide and 100,000 in the United States. And then 2009, there were 60.8 million cases and 12,000 deaths just in the United States. And of course, we see the numbers of the coronavirus, this COVID-19, continuing to rise. And some countries, it's leveling off. Some, it's not. Some, we don't know if they're being truthful or not. And, you know, we don't know the details of this. We don't know really why this is happening. We don't know, is it going to level off? Are they doing the right thing? You know, are quarantining? And then Governor Cuomo says maybe that was a mistake. And we're kind of grasping for straws here. But we're wanting to use wisdom, of course, and do take this very seriously. This could obviously cause death in people and things. But we also want to trust the Lord. And that's what I kind of began to think about is, am I trusting the Lord and doing what He asked me to do in this case of certain difficult circumstances? And all seven of these in this chapter are unique circumstances. And there's one thing in particular that Solomon tells the people, if you do this, God will do this. And so I want us to go through and notice a few of these things. I wrote notes down in my Bible. I won't preach long, I hope. I told Megan, I said, I don't know, sometimes when I get talking, it's hard for me to be quiet. And she knows that all too well. Just beginning in verse number 31 is the first situation. And it says, if a man trespass against his neighbor and has an oath, and maybe he breaks that oath, then you can actually go and pray to the Lord. And it says, come before the altar in the house of the Lord that Solomon built. And he says in verse 32, then hear in heaven and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked, bring justice basically. So it's justice with those that have broken promises, broken oaths, have not been loyal, or maybe they've sworn to do something and they did not do it. So notice the progression, and we're going to see this every single time. Solomon says, you pray, God hears, and then God's going to act. We pray, the Lord's listening, He's hearing, and He's going to act. And sometimes His actions are different depending on the different scenario given here in these verses. In verse 31 and 32, it's the justice with the oaths that are given. You pray, God hears, and it says God will judge. Now, there's some things that we think we know all the answers to, and we think we've got it all figured out, and we know maybe we think what God should do, but He's truly the one that knows the end from the beginning. He knows the details of every situation, and many times it's not our job to go out and revenge, but just trust the Lord. Lord, You judge. I'm praying that You will handle this situation. I'm not going to get bitter about it. I'm going to leave it with You, and God is going to judge. Just quickly, the second one begins in verse 33. We're not going to read all these verses, but 33 and 34, you can kind of skim those if you'd like to, but it deals with a defense from the enemies. Maybe the people of Israel were going through a war, or maybe there would be a war. I haven't really lived through a war in our own land. I know we've had some terror attacks and things like that, but you know, I can't imagine living through the War of 1812 or the War of Independence or the Civil War, for example, where there was, you know, in the Civil War, fighting in our own country. You know, talk about just your normal life shutting down. I've never been through something like that, but now, those many that have gone to other countries that we know in the military that have also served and fought, and even in times of literal battle, you can turn to the Lord and you can pray. And notice in verse 33, it's very specific. The Lord is bringing the enemies to smite the people of Israel down. You can see that even through the book of Judges, where the Lord would bring enemies to judge the people for their sin. But it says, if in the midst of that, and in the midst of even that defeat by the enemy, you pray, God hears, and notice in verse 34, He will forgive the sin and bring you again to the land. So He forgives, and not just that, He restores. He brings things back. And we see the forgiveness is going to be mentioned in several of these scenarios. So not just with an oath, the first one, but secondly, with a defense from your enemies that have come into the land. Or number three, verses 35 and 36, what if there's a drought? What if there's a severe famine in the land? And maybe the economy is being affected. Maybe the agriculture is being affected. And it says there's no rain, and it could even be because we've sinned. Solomon mentions that right in verse 35. But if we pray and confess, again, we pray, God hears, and then God forgives. Notice verse 36. There's an addition to the forgiveness. He says, God will forgive the sin and that thou teach them the good way. You know, it mentions in verse 35 that the famine, the drought came because of sin. You know, anytime something happens in our life, it doesn't necessarily always mean there's a sin, perhaps, but sometimes the Lord's trying to get our attention. Sometimes He has to take the 4x4 to the forehead or do something catastrophic in our lives. And sometimes we wonder, Lord, what are You doing? But notice, if we pray, God hears, He forgives, and then He teaches. What are we learning through the different situations in our lives? What have we learned even recently in the past weeks with the changes we've had to make in our school? We've had to make changes here in the way we meet for church. We've had to make changes with the way we do business in the community. Have we been saying, well, we're just going to roll with it and do whatever, just do what comes down the pike? Yes, we have to follow things and do things, but have we put spiritual thought into this? Have we thought, Lord, what are You trying to teach us in this? How can I draw closer to You? How can I be taught, as Solomon says in verse 36? Teach them the good way wherein they should walk. What is it, Lord, that we've done that has distracted us from the good way? And we want to get back into that good way. Maybe be more faithful in your Bible reading, more faithful in prayer. I know it's been a burden in my heart to do that. Lord, have I just been nonchalant about those things? But Lord, I'm going to pray in the trouble. God's always going to hear, but then He's going to forgive and teach. And then we see the one that kind of relates to what we're dealing with today and in our culture and in society here in America and in around the world, verse 37. What about a sickness or a disease? We're not going to get into the details of this, but there's sickness and disease mentioned both agriculturally with blasting and mildew. Those terminologies, we're not going to have detail to go into those or time to go into those, but deals with problems with your agriculture, the locust or the caterpillar. But he talks about pestilence as well, which is like a plague or a sickness. And if the enemy besiege you in the land, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, verse 38, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward this house, this temple that's being dedicated. So we're going to pray. Then here, verse 39, we pray, then God will hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. And what is he going to do again? He's going to forgive. We pray. The Lord hears. And we have a merciful God that despite our failures, despite the things we bring on our own heads with our sins, he forgives when we turn, when we confess. And notice it says he's not just going to forgive, but he's going to also give every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest. The Lord knows the reasons. He knows the reasons why certain things are happening. He knows the reasons why there's going to be a difficulty, a hardship. He knows what the sickness might be for. And he's going to give. But notice verse 40. I thought through this, especially in light of the viruses and things we're facing today, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. I know us men, we had a series we were doing in Sunday school on wisdom, and I was enjoying hearing those. And several of the men had brought out the correlation of fearing the Lord to wisdom. And we see here in this verse that one of the reasons that God uses things like pestilence, mildew, blasting, trouble, is for us to then turn and say, can I fear the Lord? Do we have a different view of God now than before? Do we have a different view of His sovereignty, of what He's going to do, of why He's doing things? Or are we just going to willy-nilly, like I said, just go through life like normal? But to say, Lord, I want to fear you, to use every hour, every moment, every opportunity of my life to be able to serve you and to know that fear. I thought it was interesting that in that particular scenario of sickness, that Solomon related it back to fearing the Lord. And I think it's a fitting message even for us today to remember as we go forth. Quickly, number five is in verses 41 about the stranger. If a stranger in the land, even a sojourner, comes through the city of Jerusalem or the land of Judah and turns to the temple, and again, if he prays, God hears verse 43, and he does according to all that the stranger calleth. Even people that we don't think fit the mold, there's a stranger. There's somebody that, well, we don't think God will never use that person, or God will never be able to look at that. We prejudge many times. And here's this stranger walking through the land, and Solomon says, you know what? God's promises are for you as well. If you pray to the Lord, He hears, and He's going to do, even for the stranger, what is in his heart to do for the Lord. The sixth one mentions, we alluded to this already, the first one about battle was enemies coming in and defeating us. But what about just battle in general? He talks about verse 44, we're ready to go out to battle. He says, again, if you pray, God hears. I find it interesting. That's that correlation every time. We pray, God hears. Remember nothing else tonight. Remember that. We pray, the Lord hears. And notice in verse 45, what's God going to do? He's going to maintain their cause. You know, we war not against flesh and blood in our day to day as we serve the Lord. We fight spiritual battles here in Santa Rosa Christian School. We fight spiritual battles in the Youth Athletic Club. We fight it in the Children's Bible Club with the material that goes out here in the church. And whatever the Lord's called us to do, it's a spiritual battle. And we want His Word to go out. And isn't it comforting to know that as we go to battle, we pray, the Lord hears, and He's going to maintain our cause. You say, well, we had to change school. We had to go to online learning, and it's totally different. The kids are not in our class. You know what? God's going to maintain the cause. Well, what if we can't have the youth athletic club? Well, we can refund the season or whatever pastor decides to do, or give credits and try to be a blessing to people. What's God going to do? He's going to maintain the cause. His testimony, His name is going to continue in this community, whether we have a season, whether the kids are right in our classroom, or whether they're watching on a computer. The Lord's maintaining His cause. Even when we're fighting the battle, it might be a little different than what we're used to fighting, but He's maintaining the cause. We can rest in that our Lord is on our side. Then the last one, the seventh one, is a unique one down at the end, verse number 46. What about when we sin? What about when we sin? If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not. Solomon even knew that in the Old Testament. And thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry away captive into the land of the enemy, far or near. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. But notice verse 47, yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent. Well, that's a key there, isn't it? Yes, there's no man that sinneth not, but there's a lot of men that don't repent. If they repent and make supplication unto God in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we've sinned, we've done perversely, we've committed wickedness, verse 48, and so return unto thee with all their heart, with their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land. There it is again, pray. Verse 49, then hear thou their prayer. We pray, the Lord hears, and then he maintains the cause, verse 49, and isn't this beautiful, verse 50? He forgives thy people that have sinned against thee, all their transgressions when they have transgressed against thee. Give them compassion before them who carried them away captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they be thy people. We can continue on reading there. Even when we sin, as John tells us in his first epistle, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we confess, we repent, and the Lord will forgive our sin. I thought about this as Solomon is exhorting these people to turn to the temple and pray. Then I thought, well, we don't really have a temple. We aren't in the land of Israel. But go with me quickly to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and you all know exactly where we're probably going with this. Hebrews chapter 10 relates a lot of the types and shadows to our Christian life. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We don't have to turn to the temple. We can literally enter into the presence of the Lord through the blood of Jesus Christ. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We don't have the temple to look to perhaps here on the earth, but we have a heavenly temple. We have our Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. And as the writer of Hebrews also tells us in chapter 4, to come boldly before the throne of grace, to find that help in time of need. If we pray, the Lord hears, the Lord forgives, the Lord maintains, the Lord will do above and beyond what we have ever thought. I thought also of this one little statement I thought of as we go through this situation. Let's maintain a state of prayer, not a state of fear. Solomon gave a wide variety of scenarios, situations, and circumstances, and the key to every one of them was pray. When we pray, our God hears. And then we'll close with that very, very well-known verse. You probably know it by heart. This is after Solomon dedicated the temple. The same scenarios are given in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and he goes through the same type of verses emphasizing that word pray. But then in chapter 7, we know this verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Now's the time. Today, it's always the time, but especially it seems when difficulty comes, turn to the Lord even greater. Humble yourselves. You know, I think of the Lord can bring this country to its knees like this. I don't know all the forces involved and the politics and the people and all. I don't know all those things, but I know the Lord can do it like this. And He can shut down an economy, one of the greatest in the world. He can bring things to a stop. He can stop pride very quickly. Verse 14, humble ourselves. Turn from our wicked ways. Boy, are we not in this country gone down a path of wickedness, gone down a path of rejecting the Lord, path of accepting a variety of sins in Romans chapter 1, just going right down that list. We've gone that path in America. It's time to turn. And you know what the Lord will do? He'll hear. As I've emphasized, we pray. The Lord hears. And the Lord, even verse 14, He'll forgive our sin and heal our land. That's where our trust needs to be. I know the government's doing a variety of things and doing what they can to help the American people and things, and that's wonderful, that's fine. But what about the Lord? Are we turning to Him as our source? He can heal this land, but we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to pray and then trust that the Lord is going to hear. Now, Father, we thank You for this chapter in the Scriptures tonight and for the wisdom of Solomon to give this variety of scenarios and situations that, Father, we even go through these in our lives today. Lord, I ask that we would continue in a mindset of prayer, because we have a God that hears and a God that acts. He acts in forgiveness. He acts in love to judge when needed. He acts to maintain our cause, and He acts to heal our land. May we continue to go before our Lord and live in a state of prayer, not in a state of fear. Help us to be wise in these days, Lord, to take the precautions that we need, but to continue to trust You as well for Your deliverance and Your guidance through this time. We thank You for Your Word and the strength of it. And bless our church family, Father, Grace Bible Church, and those that we know. I bless each one of them in their homes, and Father, guide them to know and do Your will for the coming weeks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We appreciate that message from God's Word, Dr. Watt. We want to conclude our service tonight by turning to number 340 in our hymn books. We're going to sing just on the first stanza of My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. And we'll sing it together, even though we're separate. We want to honor the Lord with these thoughts from this hymn. Number 340, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Be assured of our thoughts and prayers for you. We'll stay connected with phone calls and with FaceTime and social media. God bless you, and good night.